in America should be grateful to God for the blessings he's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. Phone lines are open, 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. If you want to queue your call, you are welcome to do that, 610-363-1110. Queue your call. You're welcome to do that. We'll get to some of the social media questions as well. You know, the markets right now, before the markets opened today, we were 4% away from the all-time record highs that we made in July. We are 4% away from that, which really is not that bad. We're still, you know, real close or in double-digit gains for the year. So the markets were looking like they were going to, the markets in pre-market open were up 1%. Right now they're up 1.1%, give or take. The NASDAQ is up 1.6%. So that's up dramatically. But all the markets up 1%. So right now, if the markets were to close right this minute, we would only be down 3% off the highs of July. So who knows what's going to happen today? We don't know. We may get, right now, there's been a very, very, very nice sense, though it short lives, sense of stability in the markets, because we haven't seen huge swings. We're not seeing big, huge swings on the downside, big swings on the upside. Things have been just kind of plugging along, and there hasn't been a lot of volume. So, you know, there's not, it would appear as though we're not seeing any panic selling, any hurry up buying. We're not seeing any of that. There's been some stability. Now, 1 week doesn't make stability, that's for certain. Not now. I don't know that 1 year does, the rate we're going. But nonetheless, it really is amazing how we're starting to see that. We'll see. So today, if we could end up a percent and a half today and end up a percent and a half tomorrow, the last day of the trading month, now we're staring at 1% away from where we were in July. Yep. So all of this stress and losing sleep and people going nuts in the month of August, it's gone. It's like, didn't even happen. Yeah. And scary. It's amazing. So anyway.
Don't worry about the red and greens. It's just a stoplight.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just watch for that. Look for that. It looks like, pending home sales were down. I don't care much about pending home sales. Bruce and I talked about that earlier during the break. But, you know, number one, they're pending. And number one, they're so backward looking. But nonetheless, you know, we're seeing amazing mortgage rates. And mortgage rates are as good as they can get, as far as I'm concerned. Could they go lower? Sure. I can't imagine that anybody, there would be a buyer out there ready to buy that is waiting for 10 more basis points. If they may end up getting a higher 20 basis points. If you're waiting now, trying to catch the bottom perfect, you're probably not real wise to do that. But maybe that's what's happening. But, you know, I think it's purely been a more than anything, it's been this demographical change
Correct. That
has happened. So we've got, you know, all the money is with baby boomers. They're not buying anything. They're moving into more rental things. They're realizing that as they retire, you know, owning a house is not all it's cracked up to be, maintenance and all that kind of stuff. So there is a definite shift there in mentality. And then you've got the younger people that, number one, don't want any property if they do buy a house. They are smarter than we were in that they're not willing to get in $700,000 worth of debt to buy a house.
They watch their parents suffer.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean anything to them. It's more important. It's not a status symbol.
Correct.
They may buy a Tesla as a status symbol, but they're not going to spend the money on a house that we did. They don't want to be chained to the house.
Correct.
They want to have their freedom and their flexibility to change jobs and all those kinds
of things. And that's key right there is they're not, the dynamic nowadays is they're not sticking with a job for 20 years like, you know, I did.
Right.
Years.
Oh, yeah. They're, right.
They
right.
know, okay, 3 years, I'm going to move maybe to a different, even completely different city. So they don't want the burden of home ownership.
And I think they're more okay with moving to a different city.
They are.
You know, people always get amazed when they say, not amazed, but they're a little surprised. When they say, are you and your wife from here? And we say, yeah, we're born and raised here. Right. We've never moved. And it's such an odd thing,
right?
Even for people our age, because generally by the time you reach our age, you probably have moved 2 or 3 times just through the course of corporate America and change of jobs and things like that. So it's unusual. So it's hurting the mortgage business. I think we've pretty much maxed out right now for refis. You know, refis, I mean, everybody's gone through it, has done it. And so not a lot of that going on right now with existing homes. So mortgages, as low as they are, people just aren't buying. I think what would be the right thing to do if for some of these developers, and I understand that there's far more money to make in rental properties, but we're going to be overbuilt here where we live. We got apartments everywhere. Yep. It's ridiculous. And I don't understand why we're not doing some condos, some of these flats that people would buy, you know, like they do in other countries, like they do in certain areas, you know, of the country and as well. But they're not doing it. I think they would go really well for the millennial generation.
I agree.
All right. We've got our ag report coming up, and then we're going to be right back. We're going to get to your phones. You're going to be the first caller we take if you hear your call.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market found strength late Wednesday morning after Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue said that President Trump will announce plans to boost biofuel demand. The market received additional support from technical buying after we got within a penny of contract lows that were made back in May. Now, the bounce yesterday created a key reversal higher day on the charts in the December corn, and when we see that chart formation, we tend to get followed through to the upside about 90% of the time. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny and a half higher. Soybeans closed higher yesterday as they hitched a ride on corn's coattails. We did have a Stats Canada report out yesterday which showed that canola production in Canada is estimated to be down 4.6% at 18.453 million tons versus 20.343 million tons a year ago. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up 4 cents. The wheat market traded lower Wednesday, with spring wheat continuing to make fresh contract lows. The weakness in wheat stems from a large carryout number, which is going to increase as harvest progresses. The Stats Canada report showed total wheat production in that nation down 2.9% versus last year, but spring wheat production number in Canada is estimated at 25.108 million tons, and that's up from last year's production number of 23.942 million metric tons. In the overnight trade, Chicago is down 2 cents as I record this, while Kansas City is a penny lower and Minneapolis is trading unchanged. Cotton turned in a stronger session with December futures up 81 points to settle at 58.73. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading unchanged. Livestock futures were split with cattle lower while lean hogs posted a stronger close. For the session, October live cattle futures were 57.5 cents lower, while October feeder cattle were down 87.5 cents. Lean hog futures, on the other hand, posted a stronger close, with the October futures up 27.5 cents at the closing bell. Class 3 milk futures had a solid performance, with September futures up 17 points as they settle at $17.47 per hundredweight. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading a penny lower as I record this. The cash livestock markets had a less than ideal day yesterday. The day ended with choice beef boxes $3.80 lower to settle at $232.96, while selects were $1.10 higher for the day as they closed at $211.81. Pork carcass values lost ground as well, finishing the day $2.06 lower as they settle at $72.01 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 610-363-1110. You know, I probably had a, I got my usual hundreds of emails. I look at what Pat sends me, my administrative assistant, what gets through, and, you know, a lot of questions out there, folks. And right now, our board is wide open. It's the first time this week on Thursday. I can't remember the last time we've gone this far with an open board, So you'll be the first question we take, 610-363-1110. Because if you're waiting to get an email from me, you got a long wait. I'm just, you know I'm always honest about that. But the odds of me getting to your email question and sitting down and writing is very slim, and you know that because many of you have waited as long as you can wait. You can't deal with it anymore. But now would be the time to get your question answered, 610-363-1110, 610-363-1110. Philip is asking, good morning, Dan. After listening to you since the beginning of this year, I became a partner yesterday. Thank you, Philip. Finally have enough confidence in myself that I understand your system well enough to join your ministry. Thank you, Philip. I sure appreciate that. But can I give you a little bit of a word of wisdom in that? Now that you have partnered, man, watch some of those videos. And there's one video in particular, two videos, that if you don't look at any others. But I have a video on there. It's a little bit long and obviously boring. It's about 15 minutes long. But it explains in great detail my strategies and my system and how it works. And how, you know, I went into a little bit of a history of how I developed it and so on and so forth. But watch that. That'll be very helpful to you. There's another must-watch video. And then there's a lot of other instructional videos. The more of those videos you watch, the more you get a better feel. Now, these are questions unasked. In other words, you haven't asked these questions yet. You haven't thought about these questions yet that some of these videos are addressing, but they're very, very helpful to you. And I would suggest that you do that, Philip, if you haven't already. So started to do that. I really appreciate it that Glenn is saying good morning and Candace saying good morning. I love your bumper music. Thank you, Candace, for saying that. I was waiting. I was kind of surprised that I got to tell you, after I made that comment about what somebody said, I checked my email just at the break to take a quick look, thinking somebody, surely I'd be getting emails about that. But anyway, Belle from Louisiana saying hello. Aaron has got a follow-up to something he asked yesterday, and he says, Dan, follow-up to the question. I messaged yesterday about my work contribution and the distribution to an annuity. I stopped my 403B, doing my 403B, which was, and I'm now doing a Roth, okay? My employer is a big faith-based YMCA camp run by a board of directors. And not the YMCA. The retirement is held by YMCA's retirement fund, okay, with current interest rate of 5%. Instead of 403B, I'm going to open a Roth. I'm 34 years old. My wife's 43. She only works 2 days a week due to... 19-month-year-old twins, yeah. I don't know how she's doing that, working at all. Because she's working like a dog at home all day long, I'm sure. Anyway, that's great. And a 4-year-old. Anyway, we have $1,000 yearly to put in to a Roth IRA. Should I put one under her and one on me? Yeah, I would. Might as well open the accounts because things could change. And the accounts are open. You know you have them. I would put five. I would do the same thing in both of them. I probably, the reason I say both is just to really to get two separate accounts. It's a good idea to do it now while you can. And just put 500 hours. I would just use the ETF, the Timothy ETF. I would use the TPLC, TPLC, Thomas Paul Larry Charlie, TPLC. I would just do that ETF. And every year when you put that money in, you know, I would rather you do it $25 a month or whatever it is, you know, a little by little, as opposed to doing it once a year. But if that's how you're doing it because of tax returns and stuff like that, that's okay. Do what you got to do. But I would do that in just that one ETF and just keep doing it and forget about it. If you can do more, if you get a little extra money or whatever, you can do a little more, then do it. But that's what I'd stick with. Good question. Checking in and counting you and, oh, thank you, Augie, man. You know, he is saying that he and his wife as soldiers in the FI Army. Man, thank you, Augie. You do so much for this ministry. You've been an enormous blessing over the years, and I'm so grateful. And Augie and his wife coming to our retreat. And I'll tell you, talk about two brave souls. They came to our retreat. They got home from Israel. And you know, you have the jet lag and all that kind of stuff. Came home from Israel and came to our retreat, stayed there, and they never fell asleep during the retreat.
Good for
they
them.
Did great. Wow. They participated. But yeah, good stuff. Thank you, Augie. We sure appreciate you, brother. Anyway, let me go to phones. Let me go to Rob. Rob calling us from Indianapolis. Or Indiana, I'm sorry. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Good.
Great. Hey, man, I really appreciate you.
Thank
you. Appreciate your ministry, man. Appreciate everything you're doing for us, brother.
I appreciate that.
I got a couple of quick questions for you.
Okay.
I'm 54 years old.
All right.
I have a Roth IRA, and my wife has a Roth IRA. I set us both up one.
Okay.
We currently have it with our credit union.
Okay.
And so I'm wondering, should I switch it out of our credit union and put it over in like a TD Ameritrade or something that I've got a little more access over, or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so, and that was a great place to start, by the way, the credit union. That was wise. And have you now accumulated a little bit of money in there? You know, at this point, $1,000 or so or something, have you gotten to that?
Sure. I probably got 40 or 50,000 in it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would definitely move it, Rob. You may not be comfortable with, I mean, you may be really, really comfortable with the credit union and this is a little bit of a leap of some risk. But, you know, at your age, I would definitely want to see you open. So what you would do is you'd open those two Roth accounts at TD Ameritrade. You'd roll over the money from the credit union into that. And if you are contributing on a regular basis, all the more reason to do it. But I think it would be wise for you to have the opportunity to have the whole world of investments open to you, even though you're not going to use all that, but you might want to keep some in CDs. You can do that at TD Ameritrade. You might want to do a little bit in Timothy. You might want to do a little bit in some of the individual stocks. But I think it would be wise for you to do that. I would like you, you know, depending on your tolerance, but I would like you to take a little bit more risk, be a little bit more aggressive, so that you have a little bit more opportunity for gains. Now, with that comes a little bit more risk on the downside, but I'm okay with that because of your age, because I feel confident that between now and the time you retire, you'll recover anything that might take a dip down. And if you're putting in money on a regular basis and dollar cost averaging in all the time, you'll do fine. So I think you should definitely make that switch. After you make that switch, you might want to call back, and maybe I can give you some ideas then of where you ought to put it.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I, I kind of like the idea of the Timothy funds, because I want to be biblically sound with my investments.
Yep.
And I don't know that I am right now. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what they're in right now.
Yeah.
Another thing, Dan, right now, because of financial reasons, we're only able to contribute about $100 a month to each fund. And I know I need to increase that, but, I mean, what do you think about that? I know it's good to do something, but what do you think we should be doing?
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty good, Rob, and that's a really good, strong start. So I don't want to, by any stretch of the imagination, minimize that, but I would say, I don't know, just as a thought, if you could just think, put in mind, put, you know, in your mind that one of your accounts maxing out as a goal, maxing out at least one of your accounts, obviously two would be great, but that's a fair amount of money. But you can put in $7,000 in each account. And if you could just kind of hold that $7,000 carrot out there in front of you and look to try to peck away at doing that, if you could do 10 to 12% of your income, your total income, that would be another kind of a number that you could shoot for. That might be over 7,000, might not be, but something in that range. I mean, I think that's something to shoot for. And I would say, not to put any pressure on, but in the next couple of years, if you see ways that you can, for just a short 10-year period, make some sacrifices, but as you make a sacrifice of changing something in your household or something you do that is costly on a regular basis, and actually use that amount of money that you saved. So I'll give you an example. Maybe you cut your cable bill from $100 to $50. Actually take that $50. Maybe it ends up being $45.30. I'll even exaggerate more. And take the $45.30. Actually write a check for that amount to your Roth IRA account so you can say, okay, there's our cable money. It's going to, so you kind of get that feeling where, man, how can I miss it when I'm seeing my account build up? That's what I would do. That's what I'd look to do. Try to find ways to cut. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. God bless. Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, and it's great to be here. 610-363-1110. Let me go to calls. Let me go to Sarah. Sarah's calling us from Texas. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I'm 39, okay, and I'm currently in the process of purchasing and building a home on my own little piece of Texas. I haven't been divorced very long, unfortunately, so I'm running into some issues, and I didn't know, I guess I want your perspective from a couple of angles. Number one, like you said, the interest rates on housing is just phenomenal right now.
Yes.
So I'm totally with you right there. It's a great time. But what I'm running into is, unfortunately, my credit is having some problems at the moment because my former spouse has decided to be delinquent on an auto loan that was in both of our names. It isn't really hurting me too bad at the moment, but because I'm building my home, you know, we've got this whole construction period in which, you know, he could make bad choices and impact me. So, I guess thoughts or, advice in that area. And then another area is just in general as being a single mom, you know, it's, building is expensive, but my thoughts are I would rather be putting my money towards something that I own versus renting. You know, at least I have some kind of investment versus just throwing money into a rental. But I wanted to get your take on that.
So how's your income stream? Or from the perspective of paying the mortgage. Are you okay there?
Yes, I am. I mean, I've got everything. I've done the Dave Ramsey thing. I'm not totally, you know, because I know that his philosophy is, you know, you have to have this much down on the house before you even think about it. Right. But again, I'm more on the along the lines of, if I'm going to be spending, you know, $1,300 up in rent every month, I would rather be putting that toward a mortgage.
Absolutely.
Even if it costs me a little bit more on a mortgage, at least it's mine.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm not full into the Dave Ramsey, but as far as budgeting,
right.
Cutting back, all of that, yes, I've got it all budgeted out.
So here's what I would tell you, a couple things. First of all, when you apply, have you applied for any mortgages?
Yes, I'm okay. Currently in the process of, I've talked to a couple people and I've found, a bank that I'm happy with doing the construction loan, and then possibly when it's all done, I'm probably going to go with them to do the final mortgage.
So make sure you don't do an adjustable rate. You know that, I hope. Don't ever do that. I know they're going to try to talk you into that, and I know it sounds very, very good, but don't do that. Please don't do that. So don't do an adjustable rate. Live with what their 30-year rate is and be done with it. And I'll just tell you this, just from a practical perspective. When you have a 30-year fixed mortgage, and 2 years from now, you will maybe have had, if you're fortunate enough to have a job like this, you maybe have had two cost of living raises. You now have more money in your pocket, but your mortgage space stays the same. 5 years from now, you're going to have more money bringing home and your mortgage stays the same. So you can see where I'm going. You start to get ahead. Your adjustable rate mortgages, you're never going to get ahead. Because as the economy gets better, the rate's going to go up. The economy gets better, the rate's going to go up. The economy gets bad, the rate's not going to go down very fast. And on it goes. And it's this, you never get this peace about being so far ahead of your mortgage. So I am, you know, I look at it from a very practical perspective, not from a financial perspective, not from an interest rate perspective. It's like I tell people trying to get out of debt, pay off your smallest balance. I don't care if it's got a 4% interest rate, pay off the 4%, pay off the smallest balance to free up the principal to pay off the next one and the next one, because you need the sense of accomplishment and you need to free up more money every month to get to the bigger ones and the more expensive ones. So anyway, but my perspective are always just my perspective, and most people disagree with me, but I just wanted to share that with you. So that's number one.
And I was going to tell you, I mean, what I'm currently doing, the only debt I currently have is my own auto loan. And so what I've been doing is making what I think my mortgage payment's going to be toward that auto loan.
Okay,
so probably going to happen is by the time the mortgage actually comes along, that auto loan is going to be completely paid off.
Yeah,
and as far as a steady income, I'm unlike other people of my age. I've worked for the same company for 15 years.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah, you are very unlike people. You're like people every age right now. We were just talking about that, weren't we, at the break? But anyway, I would, it sounds like you're doing everything right. But here's the thing. One nice thing about mortgage companies right now, and particularly if you're with a community bank or a credit union, one thing they did learn and seem to be holding to in 2008, that the thing that matters most is what you just said, 15 years with a company, that carries more weight, way more weight than it did 10 years ago. 10 years ago, well, it's credit rating, you know, and now it's all about, you've got a 15-year job, you've had this steady income. That is huge. I would be right up front with them from the very beginning. I would tell them, hey, I'm divorced. My husband is delinquent. Yes, I'm on that, and I know it's killing my credit, but because they have the ability, especially those small banks, to say to their underwriters, "I, you really need not to care about that, and here's why." And so you know, hopefully they'll do that. And, you know, don't and try not to apply to a lot of places for any other mortgages. Maybe you can just stick with this bank and they'll roll that construction loan into a mortgage. But so I think you're going to be okay. I think you'll be fine. And I think you're doing all the right things. Obviously, you know, the scary part is there could be four or five other things, I don't know, that he could do the same thing with. And
yeah, this is the only one. But again, because I know that there's some, you know, this is a construction loan. It's going to go out 9-12 months.
Right.
So if he does this every month for the next 9-12 months, that's what's going to kill me.
Yeah.
And, you know, my credit was up to almost 800. And then all of a sudden I get a notification from my credit watch saying, you know, you've got a mark on there. And I went out there and, you know, of course it, you know, bam, down you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that right now I'm not in a bad credit rating. It's just my thoughts are, is okay, once we get to the end of this, I don't want to end up paying, you know, a percent or more higher than what I should be paying because of what he's done to my credit.
The other thing I would ask you to do is to call the company. They'll talk to you. You're on the loan. And I would just ask them, because you might be surprised, and say, look, you know, we've been divorced now for a while. We were never delinquent. Is there any way you can make a note of that on my credit, or apply the delinquency? You know, they have to do that every month. Apply it to just, you know, his credit. You know, here's my divorce settlement, you know, paper, whatever. I mean, it's worth a phone call.
In the divorce. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like I can't provide them backup, but you know, this is solely his now. I mean, everything's been signed over to him. So it's, yeah, I'm on the loan, but it's not like I can do a whole lot unless I wanted to pay it for him, but then I'll never get the money back.
Yeah. Right. No, you don't want to do that, but it's worth a phone call. I would do that. I think you're going to be fine. And, you know, be careful of your credit that you don't do anything. Like, that's why I said, don't go applying for a lot of mortgages, because that actually hurts your credit. So every application hurts your credit a little bit. So I would be real careful about applying. Try to just stick with this bank if you can do it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm glad you called. You're doing a great job.
Have a nice Labor Day.
Thank you. I will. God bless. Let me go to Matt from Michigan. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Dan. Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay.
Yep. I have one stock we sent there that I owned prior to being a member, been a member for a couple of years now. Just want to tell you that I've done extremely well with your program and your picks and stuff like that. Mm. Unfortunately, I owned the stock prior to getting along with you. Kind of two questions hand in hand here. UT50 is the other stock in question. Bought that at about $32 a share, have about 3,900 shares in there. Do you see that first stock ever improving? And if not, sell part of the UT50 to compensate the losses in the first one?
I think that first company is going to continue to have problems. I'm hesitating because there were talks about a buyout, and it didn't go through, but I think it's still on the table. So there is a possibility that they could merge or sell out to a competitor. But it's hard to do that in that kind of company because of the publicly regulated type of atmosphere that they live in. So, but I would probably do that, Matt. I would do your selling some of the UT50.
Real quick on the other one, because I'm so overweighted in that utilities,
yes,
like the 15%.
Yes.
Do you have any suggestions where to put the extra money?
Is there anywhere you're underweighted?
In materials or industrial.
You know what? I'm gonna put you on hold, Matt.
opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
So if you were listening, I went back to Matt during the break, so just to fill you in, you were waiting to see what I was going to say. I just told him to put some of the money. He was underweighted in industrials. So I mentioned a foundational stock that is, a good place to be. Two foundational stocks, good places to be. And told him to move some of those dollars into those two foundational industrial stocks. So that's what he's, is going to do. So anyway. Look, and I'll just say, because there is one that was on my buy list some time ago that a lot of people own that's very similar to the stock that he was talking about that is a telecommunications stock. You all know which one I'm talking about because a lot of you own it. The reason why a lot of you own it is because of my theory of everybody buys a cheap stock. Doesn't matter if it's good or not. You buy a cheap stock, and everybody. So anytime I put a cheap stock on my list, I panic. My best performing stocks are the $150, $160 stocks, by the way, always will be and always are. So if you're interested in performance, like you just want to make 10% on your money and you don't care that you're making it on seven stocks instead of 700 stocks, then you ought to think about, you got to change that attitude. I've been harping on this for years. But anyway, that's aside the point. But you know which one I'm talking about, telecommunications. Well, this stock that he was talking about was similar to that stock, and I don't think it's really going anywhere anytime soon. Let me go to Nathan from Tennessee. Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Dan. Good morning. I appreciate your ministry. I've got a question on my Timothy asset allocation. I've got to rebalance it according to some of your latest numbers. And just for sake of illustration, let me give you kind of some hypothetical and some good numbers here. Say, for instance, there's seven sectors in it. Two of those are an ETF that you recommend, and say they are 10% each. Those two ETFs are not available from Timothy, but they are available through my E-Trade account. Now, that when I pull those two ETFs out at 10% each for 20% total, that does not allow the rest of the percentages in my Timothy, the sectors of my Timothy asset allocation, to total 100%. Can I, to get that to balance out?
Do you have the tracker?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I take that 20% that I can get through E-Trade instead of Timothy, can I divide that by the remaining, say, for instance, five sectors, which would give 4% each? Can I add 4% to each of those remaining sectors to get my Timothy to balance out to 100% and then just buy those ETFs through E-Trade? Is that as clear as mud?
Yeah, pretty much. But my head's foggy today anyway. The tracker, is it because they're not listed on the tracker that's messing up your balances?
I've got the two ETFs listed on my tracker.
Okay.
But the Timothy, I think the Timothy I did not. I was just trying to get what I send in to Timothy. I send in an amount each month.
Oh, I got
you. Every month, have it deducted from my checking account. And I'm trying to get that to balance out to be 100%. But if I pull those two ETFs out, it does not. It only leaves about 80% or so. What Timothy amounts to, the different sectors, what it totals to, what you recommend. And so I was just going to bump each of those up by that amount to get it to total 100%.
Oh, yeah, I got you now. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Okay.
I'd be okay with that.
Well, that, yep, that looked to be logical.
Yeah.
It looked so logical, I thought it couldn't be right. So,
yeah, right. Okay, right. Yeah, right. I know that feeling. Yeah.
That's what I'll do. I certainly appreciate it, Dan.
All right.
And
hey,
hope you have a very good Labor Day weekend.
Thank you so much. And I sure do appreciate your partnership. Thank you, Nathan.
Okay.
All
thank
right.
You.
God bless. All right. Let me go to John in Alabama. Hey, John.
How are you doing, Dan?
Good.
Good. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Wanted to give you a kind of an update. Going to be 46 next month. I've been a Prime member for about 2 years. And I took the plunge and took a mutual fund retirement IRA from my advisor and opened up Fidelity, and I've been just following your allocations.
So okay.
Knocking them out. So I got about $50,000 in there.
Gotcha.
I need a strategy. I've got two other retirement accounts. I have a Roth IRA from my old advisor.
Okay.
I have a work 401k.
Okay.
My work 401k just offered to be able to use a Roth section of it. So I have about $18,000 in my 401k, and with the option with to add to a Roth, and I have my old Roth.
Okay.
I'm trying to think, at my age, should I start thinking about consolidating everything into taking everything and moving into a Roth IRA account?
How much? You know, how much is in that 401k?
About 18 for right now. Yes, sir.
Would it? You know, I mean, what would that do to you to pay taxes on $18,000?
Well, what I was thinking is maybe staging it over the next 5-6 years, just take a little bit out every year, about $2,000 a year, maybe.
Yeah.
Switch, you know, just and do that. From listening to you, that sounds like. But at my age, I just want to find if that's a good idea or not.
Do you contribute to it on a monthly basis?
Yes. I'm working on getting up to, they'll match up to 4%. And if we have a good year, they'll match up to 7% based on, you know, sales figures and stuff.
And so are they, good. Do they allow you to move it? They don't allow
that's
you to.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm going to find out. But if I am able to do that, I want to know if that's a good idea or a good strategy.
I think you do it either way, whether they're allowing you to move it or not. I would just do it in the 401k Roth. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I would use the 401k portion and every year move a couple thousand out of your traditional 401k over to your Roth. Mm-hmm. So eventually all of it's Roth. The only thing I would ask you though is to ask them, are they matching in the Roth?
I'll find out about
because
that. That's one of the other.
Sometimes they don't.
Okay.
But if they don't, it's okay. Do your 7% or whatever you do in the traditional, and then every year move it over to your Roth.
And then my second question is, you know, I'm doing my own brokerage with Fidelity. I have that my Roth IRA. I've got a significant amount of money in that I've started when I was pretty young.
Okay.
And what I want to know is, what should I do with that? Should I go ahead and take my normal broker, open up another Roth IRA in Fidelity, and start moving my stock positions over to that when I transfer it?
Yes.
That's my second question.
Yes. Open a Roth IRA at Fidelity and just move over your account in kind. You don't have to do it gradually or anything, but they'll transfer it. They'll give you a transfer form that you'll sign, or if you do it online, and you'll just say, yeah, move that in kind, meaning it's going to come over just like it looks right now. It won't change. Mm-hmm. So all those positions will come over, unless you have a proprietary position in there that Fidelity won't take, but they'll let you know
there
that.
There was a couple of those things when I moved my other mutual fund to this. There was a couple, I think like two mutual funds. They just couldn't do it, so they just had to sell out.
Right,
you know,
right.
Fee, but I'm willing to pay that stuff just to start doing it on my own. Cause thank you for giving me peace and saying, hey, there's no sense of urgency. You know, the wisdom you have is really beneficial. I'm sharing it with friends and family. So you're doing a good work, man. Keep it up. Appreciate
Thank you,
your
brother.
Predictions. And look forward to seeing you in Mobile next time.
Oh, great. Yeah, look forward to that. And, John, you know, thank you for that, because we have seen a spike this year in our organic growth. You know, people that are hearing about us from, you know, people like you that are telling your friends and family. And, man, that is such a blessing, and we sure do appreciate that. Thank you for your support.
Thanks for your time.
All right, John. Thanks. You know, that's great. It was interesting. I was talking to somebody yesterday that listens to the program. I said, "How do you even know about the program? I've never been on the air there." And they said, "A friend of a friend." It was, you know. Her friend was told by another friend to come alongside us, and now she does. So that kind of stuff is that's the best kind of growth.
Organic growth is indeed.
Yep. And it has been going up, and it's because of we have such faithful partners, and such a blessing. Let's see. We'll try to squeeze Carol in here. By the way, folks, all our phone lines are open. We've got another hour left. We're not. I won't go to Carol because I'll have to cut her off. So hold on there, Carol. We'll get you right after the break. But we have another hour left, folks, and all but one line. They're all open. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. And we will get you your call in the next hour. If you watch on our website, financialissues.org, tell your friends you can do that. Financial Issues. You'll notice if you follow me on Twitter, I changed my profile from 70 TV outlets to 82. So I got a list from the people that track all that stuff for me, and they say the highlighted things are new outlets that you're now on. And there was 12 new outlets we're on. And by the way, you can go to our website and find that TV outlet or radio station that we're on. So we sure do appreciate all of you so much and what you do for the ministry. So you can find us somewhere. There's and most and all those other outlets. You know, a lot of outlets are playing us for three hours, but our Financial Issues website, financialissues.org, that's 3 hours. Our phone app, download the phone app. Just go to, just search Financial Issues. You'll get the phone app, FISM.TV. If you're watching on Amazon, Roku, Apple TV, or Google TV, or one of those, you can watch us at FISM.TV as well for all 3 hours. But while you're at work, you can use the phone app. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful day. If you've got to leave us, remember all that you have is His. It's all His. Let's be a good, faithful steward. Have a great day. More Financial Issues right after this. God bless.
We will never compromise our principles and standards. We will never give away our freedom. We will never abandon our belief in God.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.